Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, on Love Sport Radio. And what a show we have in store for you because, well, Aston Villa riding that three-game unbeaten streak, two back-to-back wins. What a story for them. They are finally starting to find their feet in the Premier League season. And Dean Smith, well, a year to the day that he took over. Not to the exact day, but roughly a year. They were languishing in the Championship. Now they're rolling with the heavyweights in the Premier League. What better now to be joined by the Aston Villa man himself? That's what I'm dubbing him, Ryan Pitchart. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us again tonight on the Aston Villa Fan Show. A real pleasure to have you on. Ryan Pitchart there from Under a Gaslit Lamp. We are talking everything where Villa are concerned. Ryan, always nice to do the Aston Villa Fan Show. Always nicer when it's the Aston Villa Fan Show after back-to-back wins, I'll bet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we weren't far from our best on Saturday. But, hey, you know, sometimes you've got to play badly and get the result. And, yeah, I was delighted with it. You know, just delighted to get the 3 points right at the end, right at the death. And, yeah, absolute scenes. And, yeah, you know, it's hard to get back-to-back wins in the Premier League, you know, particularly for newly promoted sides. So, yeah, just really happy with it. And now onto the big boys.
Yeah, onto the big boys for sure, because it is Man City on the weekend, a 12:30 early kickoff. We will be talking about that. But Ryan, a man after my own heart, you just said absolute scenes there at the final whistle when Villa did get that brilliant last-minute winner. What a goal it was. They didn't think it was coming. Brighton were down to 10 men, but they got the result. They did get the 3 points. But you mentioned it there. They weren't really at their best, but that only speaks and that only highlights how far Villa have, not, I don't want to say come, but what they're doing this season. Because when you're winning and you're not at your best, you're not at top gear, and you're getting those 3 points, how important is that? And what show of statement does that make?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's strange. I mean, I've mentioned it before on the show, is in most games we've actually been the better side, so to not be the better side on the day and get the 3 points, you know, really does make a change. I thought Brighton were excellent. You know, they were cutting us open at will, 11v11. I was, you know, Nakamba's been excellent for us since he's come into the side, but I thought he had a really poor game. He was being, you know, dragged out all over the park. You know, he's meant to be our insurance policy at the back there, just sitting in front of the back four, but, you know, he was getting pulled to pieces, and the amount of space in between our back line and midfield was quite scary at times during the game. Obviously, them going down to 10 men, I think 11v11, we were certainly, you know, going to be really struggling in that game, and I think that really did swing the game. But, you know, listen, I'm just delighted that we've somehow managed to find a result. Them going down to 10 certainly helped the cause.
It did certainly help the cause. But there are so many incidents to talk about from the game. So many so that Match of the Day put them first up, because they said you may look at the scoreline and think, this is a strange one. But there are so many talking points, as there are on this show tonight, because we're going to be looking at the game with City on the weekend. And we're talking, obviously, all the incidents from the game. What a comeback it was for Mings, obviously, after him getting his England debut, then the abuse that he had to suffer. But let's talk about the game on the weekend, because as the Villa fans may be feeling, Ryan, VAR, more of a foe than a friend. Not always giving them the most amount of love, is it?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, we've obviously been on the wrong side of a few this season. In fact, I think on the wrong side of every single one. You know, there was a trio of dubious decisions at the weekend. Firstly, You know, in the build up to their goal, the free kick, Conor Hourihan was booked for a fair challenge on their right back Montoya, where he kind of slid in on the side. He poked the ball into Nakamba, and then the referee blew the whistle. He gets booked, and Brighton go and score from it. You know, the second, I'd say, a contentious decision is the VAR decision to rule out Connor's goal as well for the supposed foul by Wesley on their goalkeeper, Matty Ryan. You know, I just thought that was really, really cheap. You know, he's jumping up with the keeper. There's going to be contact sometimes, but that doesn't necessarily make it a foul. You know, I'd probably go to far as say his own defender, I think it was Webster, you know, he's impeding him as much as Big Wes. You know, I just can't really see where he's getting the foul from. And then in the second half, which wasn't shown a match of the day, there was an incident in their box in which one of their defenders makes a really clumsy challenge and goes through the back of McGinn. Now, the referee sees nothing. I assume it was checked by VAR. I don't know, but you know, even without McLaren and blue specs on, I believe it was a penalty. He's just gone into the back of him. It was a clumsy challenge. So there's three there, and obviously we've had a few during the season, which has just been absolutely ridiculous, where, you know, they've been referred and not overturned, things missed, you know, obviously there's stuff at Palace. Every single thing in terms of VAR related has not gone for Villa this season.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. And I actually want to talk further about the incident with a keeper because, you know, we always hear from keepers that they're not protected enough, certainly not by the referees, maybe now with VAR. And there is an element to say that maybe they aren't protected, you know, fouls in at the box when they're going for it. But sometimes football is a physical sport. There's going to be challenges, and not all challenges are fouls. But maybe we've gone, Ryan, have we gone the other way, in fact, that we're trying to overprotect keepers now? Because I do have to say, I kind of agreed with it. There didn't feel much in that goal.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, listen, if two players anywhere else on the pitch were competing for a header, let's say, is, and, you know, arms were up, but they weren't, you know, flailing elbows or anything silly like that, and arms were up, that wouldn't be, and this contact, there would be no free kick given. You know, a player has a right to jump and try and distract, etc. Is, you know, I think they are getting too much protection. You know, it goes back to the you know, I mean, old school. They sort of, you know, I've played Sunday League myself, and you know, you couldn't even touch a goalkeeper really, and they'll get everything. You know, where there's no defined rules, I don't believe, with goalkeepers. You know, sometimes, you know, they'll get the protection that they so you know, that they're always coming out and say that they want, and sometimes they don't. You know, it kind of goes for you, goes against you, but there has to be some, surely some clear guidelines. I mean, I haven't checked it up myself, but yeah, I think Saturday's one, there was nothing in it. You know, he's raised his arm for leverage, if anything, and you know, he's barely touched him. It was a brush. You know, I just don't see where he's got a foul from there. And, you know, the fact that it's gone to VAR, it's been checked and they've overturned it, I don't know what they've seen, but I fail to see it.
Yeah, this is the problem. We've been talking about VAR a lot across all the shows, and I'm sure you have with your friends and on your podcast, and VAR is so subjective. We're struggling now. What are the rules? What is the foul? Because we're seeing something, even in the studio, when they're reporting the scores on the day, they're saying, oh, that is a goal. No, wait, VAR is saying it's not a goal. It's not been overturned. We're getting to a point now where we don't know the rules ourselves, so we never know what's going to be allowed and not allowed, but it doesn't matter. But, well, it doesn't matter in this case, because Villa did go on to win that game and get those 3 points, Ryan. And, you know, obviously, on another day, you'd like to win 3 points a bit more easier, you know, a clean sheet and have the game out of sight so it won't be so damaging for your nerves. But it's always nice to get an injury time winner and send the fans into raptures, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when it comes to VAR, I mean, it's you would think, I mean, these could be the differences between whether teams stay up or go down.
Massively.
And, you know, we were inclined to think when it came into fruition at the start of the season that, you know, this would really make a massive difference. You know, it would clean up the game. It would make things fair, and it's just not. You know, and they really seriously need to have a look at it. But yeah, you know, Listen, in the 94th minute, Matty Target obviously steps up and he finds himself in the box and he slams one home. And yeah, I mean, you can't beat those kind of, you know, last minute winners. So yeah, no, I absolutely loved it.
I know, he finished it like he was a 20-goal a season striker. He was absolute perfect finish. He was clinical. They need to get him further up the field more often. I want to quickly talk about Ryan, because we have to talk about the star of the show. Everyone was praising him on the weekend, and rightly so. You know, many plaudits coming his way, but he's really coming to the fore now. If he wasn't at the fore already, but on the Premier League stage, when it will be a wider spread media, national media, that's for sure. We have to talk about Captain Fantastic, Mr. Jack Grealish, because on the day, that performance, absolutely sublime, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, just an inspirational performance on Saturday, and it's just exactly what you want to see from your captain. You know, he's just effortlessly carrying the ball forward, gliding through players and creating things. Not only that, but he's tracking back and doing his defensive duties. For example, there was an incident in the second half. We had a corner and Brighton intercepted and they broke really quickly. And yet, you know, it was Jack who made up the ground and seemingly in a matter of seconds had recovered the ball, you know, in the defensive third and was practically in line with Tom Heaton. You know, he's just adventurous and brave on the ball. And, you know, whenever he has it at his feet, there's just an air of excitement and anticipation. He's just... You know, he's the type of player you pay to go and see, and the fact he's Villa through and through just tops it off for us, really. You know, we've had some, you know, real legends in the middle of the park over the years. You know, you're talking about the Mortimers, the Taylors, and so forth. And, you know, I'm sure that Jack can just go and write his name in folklore, in Villa folklore as well. You know, obviously Gareth Southgate was present on Saturday, and surely after that, there's little doubt in that he'll be in the national squad next month for those last two qualifiers.
Yeah, Ryan, you brought me on nicely to my next question, because as always, as soon as an English player starts doing well, or a homegrown player, straight away we have to talk about the national side. When's he getting a cap? When's he getting a call up? And, you know, Mings brilliantly now. Look at him last week and playing for England and all the attention he's getting while he's at Villa. But we see the other youngsters coming through. Mason Mount, straight away, as soon as he starts playing for Chelsea, he's called up. And he's a fantastic talent, don't get me wrong. But surely it can only be a number of times, sooner rather than later, before Grealish is in the squad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Maddison did himself any favours as well with his antics recently, obviously at the casino and whatnot when he pulled out. And, you know, Mount himself, I mean, don't get me wrong, his Mount's had a great season. But, you know, when you look at, you know, over the past few years, I'm not saying that Grealish has pulled up strings. Obviously, we have been in the Championship or anything and stuff, you know, over the past few years. But, you know, he's had a lot more game time than Mount, and obviously played in the Premier League as he was, you know, growing and developing and filling out as a player. I think it's fair to say when we were last in the Premier League. And he's come on leaps and bounds since. And, you know, I'd argue that, you know, on balance, that obviously I think Jack deserves more of a call-up than probably all of them. You know, that's not discrediting what Maddison and Mount's done. But, you know, in terms of that midfield area, I genuinely believe, you know, particularly going forward, you know, he's one of the best that we've got, and he should definitely be getting a call up.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Ryan. I just wanted to talk about, because unfortunately, this is the only place that people should be getting their sports knowledge, is at Love Sport Radio. But another broadcaster, we won't mention it for obvious reasons, but they were saying that United should be going in for players like Mings, McGinn and Grealish. Obviously, when you're talking about Man United, players are going to get linked. It was only Roy Keane the other day saying that, you know, Harry Kane should be on his way to Man United. They should just go and take him off Spurs. When you hear things like that as a fan and saying, you know, your club's going to be raided or words to that effect, how does it make you feel when it's United? You know, we're not here for just cherry pickings for other bigger clubs. You know, they're doing well for Villa. And like you said, a player like Grealish, Villa through and through.
Yeah, I think years ago, you know, going back to last time we were, you know, half decent in terms of challenging up the league table, I think it's fair to say that we were there for the pickings. But I think this time it's a little bit different in terms of the project that we've got. I mean, specifically United. I mean, who would want to go to a falling ship there? But you know, I think before we were there to be taken. You know, you know, people coming along, you know, taking the pick in, you know, Man City's, Liverpool's, etc., Man United. But now, what with the project that we've got, you know, we've got two very wealthy owners who are looking to build things. It's very much a positive project. And, you know, there's a lot of nonsense spouted about, you know, Mings, for example, he only signed in the summer. McGinn, he put pen to paper on a long-term contract just a few months ago. He's tied up until the summer of 2024. You've got Grealish, he's got a contract until the summer of 2023. You know, I mean, and then we talk about market values. I mean, these players, these three players, I mean, you're talking a lot of money. You know, but as I say, is the links to United, I think, are very far-fetched. And, you know, I did say at the start of the season, I recall going into work, and I said at the start of the season with regards to Tyrone Mings specifically, I said, you know what? Come the summer, Tyrone Mings, he'll go to the Euros without a question of a doubt. And everyone was like, are you sure? Are you sure? You know, I mean, none of them support Villa in our workplace. And I said he will be linked with a top four club come next summer. And I still maintain that will happen.
Ryan, you're the man in the know. Well, it has completely happened. And Dean Smith, he said in his press conference this week, he said, well, either way, Mings, the way he was playing for England, and big clubs can look at him. People made a mockery of the price tag that Villa paid for him and the money they spent in the summer. They certainly aren't now because his valuation, well, it's only going up and he's at Villa. But we're going to talk about that market value next and maybe what those players can achieve. And also, we're going to take a look to that game with Man City on the weekend.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm still joined in the studio with the wonderful Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. Ryan, we've been talking everything where Aston Villa are concerned. Obviously, the brilliant Premier League form, the back-to-back wins, that result against Brighton on the weekend, the superstar that is Jack Grealish. Only, surely, he is going to be called up in the England squad very, very soon for that next international break. But we were just talking about clubs and other managers and pundits now mentioning players for Villa and saying that they should be looking at a move when they've just been promoted themselves, or in Ming's case, you know, just recently signed for Villa. We were talking about the market value, Ryan. Where do you think the market value is for the players? And when you're hearing all this stuff mentioned, what do you make of it all?
Yeah, I mean, well, you look at, I mean, best to start off with Jack Grealish, who was obviously linked, you know, a couple of summers ago with Spurs, and, you know, they weren't, you know, when we were in financial trouble and they weren't, you know, prepared to pay 30 million for him, you know, and, you know, Daniel Levy and Spurs must be kicking themselves now, because if they had gone that far, I think we would have had to sell at the time, you know, and Grealish to me is, he's a 65 mil player plus, right now. You know, correct me if you think that's, you know, outlandish, but I genuinely believe he is. I think
I think McGinn's absolutely been fantastic. I'm not sure about 65 million, but then you could argue that the price on English players, British players, homegrown players, we've seen the market. Maguire went for 80 million, and what they're going to be, and if he is going to be a fully fledged in England international. If I'm Aston Villa, that's definitely the ballpark that I'm asking for, but is he worth it? But we could argue a lot of players, but I understand the two sides of the coin, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Harry Maguire is never worth 80 million, not on any planet I'm from, you know. I mean, me personally, I'm not even a massive Harry Maguire fan. You know, I don't know where that figure has come from. You know, Mings, to me as well, I mean, obviously he plays in a similar position, a naturally left-sided centre-half. You know, to me, I think he's better than Harry Maguire, both in terms of pace, physicality, you know, presence on the ball, bringing it out. They're both good at bringing it out, don't get me wrong. You know, I think he's better. But, you know, I think with Mings, I think his market value is easily doubled. you know, McGinn is just an absolute bargain, bargain of the century at 2.7 million. And he's, you know, I mean, you know, a £50 million player. You know, these are players that, you know, haven't even hit their full potential yet. You know, they're, what, 24, 25, 26? You know, so, yeah, I mean, if for example, you know, someone like United in a hypothetical scenario were to come in and try and sign all three, I think you're talking, you know, 170, 180 million for the lot, and that's just not going to happen. So it's not like we need the money anymore as well. That's the big difference. We don't need to sell. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a massive difference in comparison to where we were a few years ago.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's like, you know, why sell if you don't need to sell, unless the players really start, you know, creating a bad dressing room vibe, you know, the bad apple in the dressing room, the bad culture. But they're not. They're happy to be at Villa. They're Villa through and through, and rightly so. It's that three-game unbeaten streak that we spoke about, Ryan. It is Man City on the weekend, the champions. They've obviously got that win on the weekend. They wanted to start that, you know, those after coming back from that international break with that good bit of form after not good form whatsoever. However, losing to Wolves, it could be the worst time to play City, although they play tomorrow. What are your thoughts going into this one? And bearing in mind, we just had Luke Hatfield on the line, a digital sports writer for The Express and Star, talking the Villa perspective, Villa fan. He said he was worried. He felt like City could be on frightening form on a weekend. But do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but these are the types of games which really is a shot to nothing. You know, I know fans think that's really, you know, a negative viewpoint, but you know, you have to be realistic here. We're talking about the champions of England, and as you say, is following the pre-international break form. You'd have to say that they've got a point to prove. But no, I mean, the scary thing is, as I say, I touched upon it earlier with us playing against Brighton and how exposed that we were at times. And you know, put it this way: if we do that against Man City, is, you know, we'll ship five or six. You know, it's as simple as that. You know, we cannot afford to have that much, you know, that much space in between our back line and our midfield, because they will tear us apart. It's as simple as that. So yeah, I'm listen, anything can happen. I'm hoping that we go in with, you know, in a frame of mind where, you know, we sit in and keep it tight for the first 20 minutes or so, and then just build it, you know, take little small segments of the game, you know, every 10 minutes, you know, you get through 10 minutes, just try and maybe, you know, from a set piece or a counter, nick one, you know, I mean, imagine getting a result there, but yeah, it's going to be really difficult.
It will be really difficult, but you say imagine getting a result there. Well, in how can we imagine it, Ryan? Help us. Where can Villa exploit City's weaknesses this week? Weekend, what can they go after? Because we have seen them, you know, to Wolves at home, 2-0 loss there to Norwich. There's been times when they have looked vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean, but you we're not going to go there and outplay them. It's as simple as that. Is, you know, it's one of those. You can't exactly overdo it. You know, you can't throw too many. You can't. It's not like you can throw the kitchen sink at them. You know, because they'll just pick you off.
Yeah, because Luke did come on. Sorry to interrupt, Ryan. Luke come on. Yeah. He said he wouldn't be surprised that if Villa come out this weekend and play on the front foot. There's no point sitting 11 men behind the ball. They'll try to give it a go in terms of play the football. Almost the way they started at Spurs, went that 1-0 up, you know. They're going to look to come out and play their usual style, play with their own identity and not cave and fold into City's way.
Yeah, and I think that could possibly, as a supporter, that's what you want to see. I mean, you know, I'm talking from a very, you know, logical perspective. Is, you know, we've seen other sides try and do that when they've come to the Etihad and they've got thumped. So you don't want to be on the end of a walloping. But at the same time, is without being brave, you're probably not going to get anything. You know, I'd be very intrigued to see how we approach the game, particularly, you know, we are a unit at the minute, particularly since, you know, Matty Target's come in on the left. We've got Gilbert on the right. We've got two very adventurous and attacking wing backs who do love to get forward, you know, and it's almost like we differentiate ourselves a lot of the time. So, you know, the attacking players do go and attack, and then you've got your defensive players, like your two central defenders, and then Nakambo will hold, and then possibly just someone there, you know, bridging the gap as well. well. And then the rest of them just seem to attack in numbers, you know. So it'd be good to put them, you know, give them something to think about. If you're not giving them something to think about, then you ain't gonna score a goal. You ain't gonna create stuff. So yeah, I'd be very intrigued to see how we do set up. It could go either way.
It certainly can, and there's something about those Saturday early kickoffs that sometimes teams don't perform to the best of their expectations, especially when they've played in the week. Aston Villa got longer than City have to recover and rest up for the game. Ryan, you know it's coming. What is your score prediction for the weekend?
I knew that you were going to ask me.
I know, and so why are you acting like I've put you on the spot?
Yeah,
come on,
right? With a change of presenter, I thought, he might let me off with this one.
No, never. This is the first show.
Like
I'm not going easy.
I don't like predicting defeats. You know what? I'm going to go for a very brave 1-1.
If that's brave, I was expecting you was going to do even braver there. That is the mini courageous that I wasn't expecting. But Ryan, it was our first one. It's only going to get better from here on in. And how it will get better if Villa do get that result to City. I hope Villa have the best of luck on the weekend. You have the best of luck this week and the weekend. Ryan Pitcher there from Under a Gaslit Lamp talking everything on the Aston Villa Fan Show. You can always join in though on the Aston Villa Fan Show. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 7020 558. You know why? Because this is your team, your voice. These shows are about you, and we want to think of what you want to talk about your club. And this has been the Aston Villa Fan Show every Monday, 10 to 10:30.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.